Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode are Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Leah. Hey, Leah.
Hi.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
Jenny, it's finally not 62 degrees in Ohio, and you have a tank top on. Like,
yes.
We had like 90 degree weather.
I'm burning up. And it's just going to get hotter.
Right? We had 90 degree weather in May. Yeah. And then over the weekend, it was like the furnace kicked on one night because we forgot to close all the windows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like wearing a sweatshirt and
don't rub it in. Shoes.
So I am only like 3 hours east of them. And it was 47 degrees when my kids hopped in the pool yesterday morning outside.
You're mean. You're the worst mom.
The you could see the steam rising off the pool because the pool water was so warm. Like, they didn't care.
And Amanda, what's your current temperature?
We are actually in like the low 80s.
Oh, okay.
We got a nasty storm run through and get us out of the 90s. But there was a tornado just south of us at 11 o'clock this morning, and Fort Lauderdale and Miami are flooded.
Oh,
so,
good times. You know. Good times in Southeast Florida there.
Good.
So
Mother Nature needs to get her shit together. Tornadoes in Florida? I mean, seriously.
So hello, global warming. So on this episode, we are actually discussing Savor It by Tara DeWitt. This is a traditional published novel that came out at the end of May. So it's been out a little less than 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Which, not the best planning. I should have given everybody like 30 days, but you know.
Yeah, we try.
We were really excited to read this book, I think.
Yes, I was.
So stick with us for the next little bit while we break down the enchanting details of Savor It by Tara DeWitt. Things to know before we get started. The release date was May 21st of 2024. Tropes. Small town. Foodie romance. There was some amazing food rep in this book. Mm-hmm. Grumpy sunshine. This is a guardian single dad. I guess you would classify him single dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, he's the guardian. He's single.
Parenting.
Like, he's single parenting. Yeah.
He's single parent guardian romance. Slowest burn of slowest burns of slowest.
I knew you were going to be upset.
Burns.
But I wasn't mad about it.
I wasn't either.
I thought it was fine.
Two read slower, just recently read slower. Next week's is slower. But the chemistry.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it later. Next week.
Fuck, Becky.
The chemistry for this book was out of the park. Like, mm-hmm. They had such great banter and chemistry, I think.
Yes, it did.
I agree.
And the pacing on this book was fast, which helped.
It really was.
Yeah, it read really fast.
Yeah, there's
fast.
A lot going on.
Mm-hmm. So this is close proximity neighbors. This is go ahead.
But there's so many floofs too.
There are a lot of floofs in this book.
So many floofs.
This is a standalone, and that makes me sad to say that. And I do not know if she has plans to visit.
God, she's not writing. We need this, like, the sister-in-law and the brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other brother.
We know.
I don't really care about the other brother. Well, that's true because he. Yes.
Yes. And there's multiple
brothers.
Are
we not getting more?
I don't know.
It is not listed that this is a multi-book deal.
Like, as soon as I hit the end of this book, I went searching because I really need Ren and Ellis's story. Like, so bad.
I don't know. Tara DeWitt, if you are listening or watching this, could you please send us an email or send us a direct message and let us know if there's plans to write the siblings books?
And if there aren't, please write the siblings books.
So I did go look at her marketplace deal on this. Mm-hmm. This is book two of a three-book publishing deal. But it...
Oh.
But the first one was a standalone, too.
It was.
Oh, man.
So, or maybe this is book three of a three-book deal. So, like,
but
there's
they were
not...
all... Oh, the co-op is the third one. And it's not in this world.
Yeah, so... I don't know if the brothers get books or gonna get books that if she's gonna sell the series.
Oh my God, please, because I
I
need
know.
these freaking characters.
I,
Like, need
yeah.
them.
The guy literally fell off a cliff and we're not gonna get like.
Yeah. Well, and the other one, like, he gets cut from the baseball team and shows up back in town.
Yeah, I don't.
And we're not going to get that story. Like, these two are pining over each other, pining for
I have no answer.
years. And we're not getting that story.
Yeah.
I have no
I don't
answers.
know.
What did you make me read, Rebecca?
This was not my pick. This was Amanda.
Yeah,
Yeah,
this is
sorry,
all
that was me.
Amanda's fault.
Amanda.
My fault.
Damn it, Amanda.
I'm sorry. I need it too.
I know, but I just needed to say it. Now I feel a little bit better.
Okay, this was dual first person point of view.
Can you
Hundred
get through this now?
I'm just really worried about you, Leah. Like, I'm actually worried mostly for Tara DeWitt. Like, the DMs
The messages,
this friend might be getting.
I don't do that unless it's somebody I feel comfortable doing that with too. Like, if it was Krista, I would totally do that.
I just feel
I don't know if
like
I would do it to Tara DeWitt.
you feel
I
a
have
little
some
next level here,
standards,
sister.
people. I have standards.
Okay.
There are standards to my crazy
We'll frame your
obsession.
restraining order. It's fine.
Anyway.
There is a third act breakup, and I have to tell you, I love, you all know, I love a third act breakup. I want stakes over vibes. I want substance over feels. This book gave it to me, but the collective I took when
Oh, yeah.
he went back and back
Also, let me just
early.
say, chapter 37, like, bawling. Bawling. That's
Yeah.
all. 37. If you don't remember, you should. But chapter 37, I even wrote it down because I didn't want to forget the
Just
number.
wanted to curl up on the daybed couch in the sunroom with her and just hug her.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
Okay.
rough. It was
So
rough.
put out percentage of this book was 79%, but they did get a little frisky earlier on, but it was a fairly slow burn.
Yeah. But yeah, but there's some stuff.
There's
There's
some stuff, but
stuff.
also, like, once they broke the seal, so to speak,
They really
there's a
liked the
lot.
library in town, and I can't believe
Yes.
like they didn't get stumbled upon in the library.
But it was like her
Well,
special place in the
their
library.
private spot. Yeah, and
Yeah.
it's a small town. There's not many people
There's not a
in,
lot of people in the
yeah.
libraries in small town. Like, I've been in my library where I'm the only person in there for like an hour.
Okay.
Right.
So the audiobook narrators for this were Carissa Vacker and Zachary Weber, and it was exceptionally well done. Exceptionally well done. Carissa did an amazing job voicing Sage, and I fell in love with this book. They did a phenomenal job. And Zachary Weber was so funny, especially when he's interacting with his niece,
Oh, yeah.
Indy.
Indy. Indy.
Yeah, it was so funny. Even when everybody shows up when they first come to town,
Oh,
and
yeah.
he's just like, it's the robot.
In the
So
robot.
I
That's a
thought
pretty
that
good
was,
NICU.
yeah,
Oh,
I
sorry.
thought it was going to be an animal with wings, and Becky was going to have to like
Oh,
stop.
DNF, that was gonna be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually thought it
There
was gonna be
were a
like a
few animals
groundhog.
with wings in this, though.
There were. But they don't get off the ground, so
This is true.
This is
Yeah,
true.
we're okay.
So this book is available everywhere. You likely could probably find it in your library. It is not on Hoopla yet, but the audio is available in Anyplay. And that's from Lindsay because she did listen to it on Anyplay. And she said to tell everybody she loved this book. So
Yeah,
she just
she
had
had
to
lots of
travel.
notes, but.
Yeah, she did.
She had to travel. So let's talk Savor It by Tara DeWitt. This was my first Tara DeWitt.
Same.
Mine too.
And I was exceptionally impressed. And for me right now, Trad Pub books are hitting better than some of the indie books, which is very unusual for me to say. And I really thought this one was going to be fade to black, or closed door because I had gotten them mixed up with BK
Oh, BK Borison.
Borson. Yeah. Because their covers are kind of similar. They kind of came on the
Yeah,
market at
and
the
they were
same time.
trending around the same time last year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I going into this was not sure what I was getting into. I just hoped and prayed it was better than the Megan Quinn book. And it
This is
was.
the bar.
It was. It
The bar
was.
is not very high when you say that,
No,
though.
it's not.
I
Well,
mean,
but rom-coms can be rough, right?
yeah.
They can be, yeah.
And this one.
But this one had all the elements that we really liked. It had good banter. It had great characters. Like, and it really was not even just Sage and Fisher's story. Like, Indy, like her growth throughout the book was like a really great side story that they had, because
Yeah.
she was like a pivotal element in a lot of it. But I like that.
I liked that dynamic, even starting out. So the book starts out in New York City, and I was like, this is supposed to be a small town romance. What the fuck? But we get insight to the small town right there in the beginning. And everyone like, what's the dildo in town?
Right.
I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a fun town. And then we get Fisher, his point of view in New York City, and he's a grouch.
Well,
He
he's just
is.
so lost, also.
And I felt like his character was incredibly relatable with grief. I mean, we've all experienced grief in our lives.
Yeah.
But then that moment that your grief is intertwined with who you are and what you're doing in the world.
Yeah.
And he felt like he was lost at sea without a lifesaver. I mean, like.
Well, and I think one of the best parts of his character, though, is like he made it. He was doing exactly what he wanted. Like, he met the goals that he wanted and found that sometimes, like, it is not always happy. Like, you can do everything that you want, but that doesn't necessarily, like, your goals don't necessarily, like, make you happy with, like, your life. And I think that was a big part that resonated with me, is the fact that, like, looking as he looks at his life there, he's like, I did it all, but was it worth it?
Yeah. What did
Yeah,
you go ahead. Now I was going to
there's
ask you,
a
Jenny, what were
very,
your
like,
thoughts?
okay, there's a very, like, philosophical, like, undertone through the whole book,
Yeah.
like, for both him and Sage. Because, like, everybody, I mean, we all get inducted into these clubs in life that no one, like, asks for membership. Like, but that's part of life. So then it's kind of like, what do you do with that? And they're both figuring it out in different ways. So, like, finding the balance between the two.
Yeah. Amanda, what did you think about Fisher and Indy's relationship there in the beginning? They were on the struggle bus.
Yeah, they were seriously on the struggle bus. But you could tell, I think, underneath it, even though they're fighting and they have they're coming at each other from, just different places. I mean, you could still feel like they wanted to, like, be together as a family. She wanted him in her life and he wanted her in his life, but it was like, he didn't know what to do with her. Like, he wasn't prepared to have her. And, neither one of them are prepared to lose her mother, obviously, but it was, I don't know. I felt such immense, like grief for them, like, together. Like, I don't know. I wanted, like, them to be happy.
Well, and I think it really showed, like, 15-year-old girls are hard. Like, being a 15-year-old girl is hard. Adding losing your mother and then living with your grandparents and then be like just going through all of that, it really showed, like, the turmoil that this 15-year-old girl is going through, especially when she is not in the typical place in her life. Like, because most 15-year-old girls are not dealing with still dealing with the loss of their mother. Like, and it's just so much upheaval at, like, a really, like, important time of your life.
I thought what was interesting in this book and the way that Tara DeWitt chose to kind of unfold this story is the parallels between when he was the new kid in town and then being the new people in town in Spoons.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was really interesting because that was part of one of the things that Fisher himself had to get over and accept is that not every small town is like the one his parents moved him to, the one that Indy was living in when her mother died. And I think that he had such a hard time accepting that not every place is the same. Not every person is the same.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what Jenny talked about. Like, we all get inducted into these clubs, but we also sometimes take those first snapshot impressions and don't ever let them go. Like, we just always look at them and think, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, that's that person. And really, they're not that person anymore. And you don't have to be that person in a new space and in a new time. And the emotion that Tara gives us, and we see that arc, that character arc, that arc of understanding for not just Fisher, but Indy too, I thought was exceptionally well done.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about Sage, and then we'll come back to Spoons, because Spoons itself is a place I love.
Yeah.
Like, can we go for a road trip? But let's talk about Sage. One of the things that I just loved about Sage, and it wasn't even her thing, but that her mother had given her that journal of Sage advice.
Yeah.
Like, it was just
well, and like perfect. When you get those little like snippets of what's in the journal, it's like, that is really great advice.
Yeah.
I think I highlighted every one of those.
Yeah.
Like, I was going back and looking today. Yeah.
It was just like the way that she wove it into the story. It just, I mean, there was purpose to it, but like, it was just so perfect. And I love that.
It was also something special for her. She was the only girl with these brothers that were larger than life. And her mom saw that. Her mom saw that she needed something that was hers and hers alone. And
well,
I just really liked how Tara DeWitt sprinkles that in there, creates that connection to the past, but shows it as a foundation, right?
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, her mom passed away when she was, what, 9, I think she said?
9 or 12.
Or 9. Well, was she 9 when her mom passed away, or was she 12 when her dad passed away? Because both parents passed away.
Yeah.
So it's like she lost her mom at a very young age. And so, like, I just love the fact that, like, her mom, even like when she was little, like, had the foresight to say, like, when Sage gets bigger, like, she's going to need this. And it wasn't even a thought, like, where she was sick or anything like that. Like, she just created this amazing piece of herself that actually ended up being that much more sentimental because she did pass away at such a young age.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the one thing, like, with Sage and Indy, like, when they first met, they were having, like, the competition of, like, who has it worse?
Who's it worse?
Right.
It's like, I was orphaned at this. Well, I was orphaned, and then blah, 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 blah. Like, I just really enjoyed that interaction with the two of them.
The other thing with Sage is she was content.
Yeah.
And it was, my life is good. I like the life I lead. Even though she had been pigeonholed into a certain role in the town, she still was happy and she found enjoyment. And I loved all of her rescue animals. We had Lego the cat.
Legoless.
He was
Legoless. Because he was a three-legged cat.
I just liked that, her menagerie.
Mm-hmm.
And that moment when they go to that farm.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, don't let me take everything home.
Yeah.
But I like
goats. Baby goats.
I liked that she defended herself, too. Like, she held, because Fisher says something at one point. I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but she's like, yeah, it is okay that I am this way. Like, it is okay because I choose to do this. Like, I choose to live my life the way I do. And I thought that was, like, one of my favorite parts.
Because he says that she's too nice.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. She is nice. And actually, Susie says she got the references to the town sign were not forks.
Yes.
But she was pronouncing the name of the town wrong. And I will tell you, the only reason I got it right and knew that it was spoons was because I listened to the audiobook.
Uh-oh. The forks, like, the That's forks got it for me. I was like, oh, I get it. Because
the first couple times, I was like, what the heck is this town name? So I was just making things, like, I was just naming it, like, whatever, like, S word I could think of in the moment.
Well, but let's talk about Spoons, Oregon, which is its own character in this story, mm-hmm. which, if you're going to give me small town, give me small town with character. It will make me so happy. And this book gave me so much joy. Like,
well, because the book opens and like they're standing there and there's this new construction. And it's like a giant penis.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my. Oh my.
Well, and it's in an area, the parking lot that they always use for like their market and their summer festival. And are these people going to let them use mm-hmm. the space and who are these people and like the town authority lady.
Oh, she's in, oh my gosh. Honestly, she made me think of like my mayor.
Your mayor?
Oh. Yeah.
Just blackmails the town to do what she wants.
Not even that, just like her attitude and things like that. Like the way she's so like crazy about keeping the town a certain way and she doesn't, made me think of the mayor of my town.
That's funny.
And that's the other piece that was interesting too, is everybody had a role to play in town and mm-hmm. it made sense what their role was. And it just added so much to that story, right?
Yeah. And I felt like it didn't go too far into the kitschy either mm-hmm. because, you know, sometimes we get those small towns and you get the funny, but you get, it goes like a little too far. Or it annoys you.
Well,
it's, but I didn't get that here.
Stacy says mm-hmm. she loved the town and that it failed at everything. Yes. It tried to be niche in. But it was so different to most of the other small towns that she read. And that's mm-hmm. just it. Like, this was not the sought after town that everybody wanted to live in. They were kind of their own joke.
Yeah.
They were a hot mess.
They were. And when she basically blackmails Fisher into being her partner for the race...
Mm-hmm.
I was dying. I was like, oh, this is, but you know, he totally win the food competition.
Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that she had reasons for wanting to do the race, but like when she sees the ex and the new girlfriend in the library, she like almost doubled down, but the way that Fisher like took care of her in that moment was super swoony.
It was super swoony. Yeah. He Fisher is absolute book boyfriend material.
Yes, he is.
I thought one of the things that was interesting in this book was, you know, Sage and Fisher had that immediate attraction.
Mm-hmm.
That hilarious meet cute where she shows up and all her brothers are there and they're like, he can't turn the
kimono.
Can't turn the vacuum off.
All her robes.
But I thought that one of the things that was really great that we get is Sage is kind of sneaky in how she forces, not forces.
She has three brothers. Like, she knows.
She's a queen manipulator.
She's the baby. Like, she's the baby of the family. Yeah. So, like, the sneaky, like, that comes naturally.
But she manipulates not just Fisher, but Indy into doing all these things around the farm. And Indy's relationship with the goose. And again, then chapter 37.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes.
Oh, the goose. Like he imprints on her.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
They're together forever. I'm just like. Anyway.
You know they can get depression.
Right? Like when she yells at Fisher. I mean, we are jumping ahead here, people. But when Indy yells at Fisher about wanting to go back and the goose.
But also, like, when she's like, have you ever cooked goose?
Right.
And he's like, well, I lived in France. Of course I did. And she, like, freaks out.
Yeah.
It's just, I just love that whole part. I mean, it tore me apart, but I love it at the same time.
Well, and also with this relationship dynamic with them, the way that they spend time together really helped the chemistry.
Yeah.
And the desire. Yeah. So you can give me that slow burn, that that, you know, kind of smoldering connection that, you know, it was there at the instant we had the spark and then it just smolders. You mm-hmm. can do that when you give me a relationship with stakes, right? Because that's what this book had that we haven't seen in some of the other books that I'm not going to mention that we read. That, you know, like there were stakes here, right? Like we mm-hmm. knew that quality time, interweaving them into each other's lives really was important. And it was important for Sage, right?
Yeah.
That there was quality yeah. time together. And also when she gets sick and mm-hmm. he cares for her, microtrope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like he cares for the animals. Like he basically like takes over for her.
Yeah.
The noise canceling headphones was like,
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh,
so swoony. Well,
there's just so many little things that he did, like that were unintentionally sweet. Like he didn't even like think about it, and he didn't realize like how romantic right. and swoony those moments were. Because even when they rolled up to the race place, and they were gonna just like run it for the day, and Ian and Chastity, as he called her, were there, and he's like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
And they like smoke them.
Well, and there were things that, like, you know, we got this emotional experience not just with Fisher and Sage, but we saw it with Fisher and Indy, but then we also mm-hmm. see it with Fisher and himself.
Yeah.
But the way Sage lives her life, she had a lot of self reflection, finding happiness and how it resonates deeply for herself. Like she knew who she was, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think she ever questioned, I want to be more than a teacher. She just wants to win a stupid race and get a trophy. Like that was her year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you still have the side piece where she's doing the stuff with the flowers. Yeah. You know, and it makes her really happy. And he tells her, he's like, you know, you can take these things that make you happy and make money on them. Like you can turn this into something like it, you know, it was almost like she didn't quite feel like she had was good enough to like turn that into a business. And he was like, yeah, you absolutely can. So I feel like she still had a little bit of self-doubt and he was able to like help her out with that.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost like she needed somebody to give her permission to like take that step. Like she knows that she can like grow things and they're beautiful. And so she gives them away, but she needed somebody to give her permission to charge and be like, this can be something that I make money for.
Yeah. So I think he was obviously the more, you know, the more emotionally stunted one in this situation, but I still mm-hmm. feel like they both like gave something to each other. You know, like the whole time I was reading it, I was like, you know, this is a perfect example of like right person, right time.
Mm-hmm.
It is,
you know, like, well, I don't know, I was
mature communication, don't you think? Yeah. Like I love miscommunication, we all know that. I love it, give it to me. But this one was a great example of communication and care, and the care that you give when you listen and see people.
Well, and also like there was a moment where like things like felt weird, like when they were training, and like, so she called him out on it. It's like, why are you avoiding making eye contact with me? Like, why are you avoiding this and this? And it's so like, they weren't afraid to talk to each other about like hard things also that might not have seemed like a hard thing, but it was at the same time.
Right. Even like at their darkest like moment, mm-hmm. she's like flat out, like, I can't do long distance. Yeah. Like, nope.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that there was that time agreement. They both understood it. Neither one begged them, kind of like what you said, Jenny. She's like, I'm not doing long distance. It's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I need the moments, the day-to-day interactions, the touches. And they both accepted where each other was at. And it was that mutual understanding that our time is limited. We don't know what things will look like after. And this is just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that. So the humor in this book, I thought was exceptionally well done. It was funny. Yeah. There were funny moments.
Well, but it was subtle. It wasn't like that in your face slapstick. Yeah. Like, it was subtle.
Funny.
And it was real.
Yeah.
But the animals were part of that, though, too. And I think that, like, when you have that added element, it makes it just flow a little bit differently.
Well, and the town, like the town meeting, you know, all of those things.
Like when the diner owner had the chinchilla in his pocket, and he's like, does the chinchilla go into the kitchen?
I was having the same worry.
Oh, were you in feels with Fisher on that moment?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I like grilling burgers with a chinchilla just like popping out.
It's like a Ratatouille moment.
Yeah, not cool.
But they're so stinking adorable.
I just wanted his name to be Remy, like, you know, like Ratatouille. Oh,
that would have been a good one.
Wouldn't that have been hilarious? Like a Jenny. She's like, no, Becky.
But he was Walter. I mean, that was a good name too.
And also, I have to say, like, there were so many moments, like when they're interacting with the diner and she tells him, like, he wants to retire and whatever. And, like, because that was, like, at 50% in the book that we learn he planned to retire at the end of the summer. And in my head, I'm going, buy the restaurant. Buy the restaurant.
I know.
Come on, Fisher. Stay. Stay. And then when he doesn't and he makes the decision to go back to New York, I'm just like.
But I will say, what? His reasoning for going back to New York was very sound. And if he hadn't went back, you would have been really mad at him.
I would have. I would have been really mad at him.
Because he went back for Indy. Like, he made the choice to go back for her. And he finally recognized, like, I need to do anything I can for her. Because I messed up.
Yeah.
And I have to make the right decisions for her. No matter how much it hurts me. Like, I'm doing that.
So do you have a specific moment between any of the characters in this book, a moment in this book that will leave a lasting impression on you? Not the chinchilla in the pocket. Like, are there any other?
I do like when Ren, the best friend who I really adored, was asking her to describe him. And she's like, oh, he's a hot pirate. Because apparently she was reading a lot of, like, pirate romances for a while. And so she's like, he's a hot pirate. And she's like, oh no, he kind of is. But she doesn't want to admit it. But I did really like Ren, the best friend. And we really need her and Ellis, the brother's story. So I'm just going to throw that out there again. For anyone who hasn't heard it yet.
Well, and, you know, I did love that little subplot between Indy and Ren's son. I really liked that. I liked that it was a parallel relationship.
Yeah.
And that Indy was finding community, but then she questioned it. Because how many of us have done that too? How many of us have thought, I found my people. And then you think, oh, this is too good to last. Like, I'm not really one of them.
But when you hear her backstory and, like, what her mom went through as a teen mom and, like, the way that the town treated her, like, she has this bias going into the small town to start with. And, like, she was so miserable in, like, the town in Nebraska that she lived. So, like, she kind of went into it already knowing she wasn't going to like it. And I think the fact that she felt so comfortable there scared the crap out of her.
Sure. Well, because, you know, is she going to get close to these people and then be the person they're gossiping about?
Yeah.
Are these true friendships or is this just I'm the new girl and they feel sorry for me? Did Sage pay them to be nice to me?
Yeah, I think that was the big thing. Like, fear was like her motivation. Like, once they were there for a little bit and her lashing out and her reaction, like, again, like, she's a 15-year-old girl who's still, like, in the throes of grief. But it made sense.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't out of character.
Yeah. Jenny, did you have a favorite moment or?
I don't highlight very much, but I did highlight a lot in this book. And
there's so many good times.
Yeah. Well, and, like, just, again, like, the philosophical, like, element to it. Like, there's a time when Fisher, like, tells Sage, like, he doesn't know how to defend her from herself. Like, she's having that self-doubt in her head. And he's like, I can't defend that.
I don't know how to fight that. Amanda, did you have a favorite moment in this book?
I have so many.
Look at Amanda. She's like so swoony
And
and
like
like.
yeah,
She's like, let me
like I'm
scroll
pulling it up, but
through.
I mean, I really did. I had so many. We've talked about a lot of my favorites, but there's a part that I have highlighted, and he asks her, I forget what he asks her, but basically like she's like, oh, are you just being nice? And he was like, I'm capable of deciding when I want to do something as well. And he's like, I'll admit, like the first night I met you, I would have done this out of politeness. He goes, but this time I mean it with my whole chest. And like that was the point for me where I was like, okay, he's starting to get through his grumpiness. Like he's starting to like realize, you know, that this place is cathartic. Like she is meaning something to him at that point. And I'm just, I don't know. That's one of my first like
Well, that her
thoughts.
intentions are good and true. The emotions are good and true. And my, like, this was not my favorite moment. Ellis falling off of the cliff, and it's
Silas falls off the cliff.
Silas falls off the cliff. And Silas, everybody has to, she runs, right? Because these are her brothers. She's a caretaker. And she gives up her own dream of this competition, right? And, but the town surprises her. And shows her just how important she is to all of them. And I think that that was an aha moment that she really needed. And again, this is what stakes in a romance book look like. You can get those warm, soft, fuzzy vibe feelings that everybody is talking about when they say, like, I just love this book. I just vibed with this book. You can get that and still give us stakes. Let me say it again for those in the back. I can have vibes and you can still give me stakes and content to hold on to. And it was
But
a
there's
moment.
just so much depth in that moment.
Right. It shows like not only her own showing that she has place. She's not just the kid sister. She's not just the teacher. She's not just the ex that never wins. It shows that they all care and love for her and she has community there.
And she's a vital part of it.
Yeah. And she matters. She's important. And we all want to feel that, right? And it was a nice parallel to Fisher, you know, that she was important to him, but he had to figure out his place and where he fit and where he snaps in. So I really liked that. And it just, to me, it was a really great way to show that you can have big swoony vibes, but you can also give me something to chew on a little bit, right? We're gonna go around now and do our thumbs up, thumbs down, unless there was something else y'all wanted to talk about.
I mean, I could talk about this book for hours, so we might as well just move on.
I think this is quickly a top read of 2024.
Oh yeah, I mean,
For sure.
it's gonna take something monumental to knock it off of my number one spot.
You haven't read Everyone I've Kissed since you got famous. That's all I'm gonna say. Anyway,
Just came out yesterday.
it just came out
I
yesterday.
was gonna say, have a guy. I don't think it's out yet, is it?
No, I mean,
Yesterday.
it is yesterday, but I'm just saying. Again, anyway. So thumbs up, thumbs down. We'll start with Amanda. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs
I
down.
mean, basically, thumbs up.
Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up. Way,
Jenny,
way up.
way up. Jenny, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
So for me, this is like two thumbs up. Like I loved this story. This shows me that Trad Pub can do it, right? They can give us a really solid, well-written stakes story. And also that rom-coms are okay, and I don't have to be a complete bitch about
Well, but
slow
also that
burns.
rom-coms don't necessarily have to have over-the-top humor. You can do subtle, you can
No.
do gracious, you can do like the little,
Yeah.
and it's okay.
Agreed. Okay, so if somebody really liked this book, what books do you think they should also check out that have similar vibes? Does anybody come with any? I made a
I
list.
have one.
I
I made
got
a
whole
one. I
list.
have In a Jam by Kate Canterbury.
Oh, that's a great one. I didn't even think of that one. There you go. Jenny, what do you have?
Farm to Mabel by Krista
Oh, that's another really great one. Look at you guys. I didn't have that on my list either. Amanda, what do you have?
I had Anything for Love by Melissa Foster. It's Beau and Charlotte's book.
Okay. Is that in the Braden Montgomery?
Yeah, it's number two in the Braden Montgomerys. And so they're kind of like out in the middle of nowhere in Colorado. And he comes out to like help her like fix up the inn or whatever. And
Okay.
like they've both been through some recent grief. So
Anything else?
similar vibes. That was the only one I had.
Okay, so I have Irresistibly Wild by Jay Sommin. He is raising his nephew after the loss of his brother and sister-in-law. Next to Kin by Hannah Bonham Young. Both are raising siblings. And it has that slow burn, but again, lots of stakes and swoony vibes. Meet Cute by Helena Hunting. He's raising his niece. And it's a second chance romance, and he's very inept. And she's a tween, so it's kind of funny because, like, he doesn't get it all. Something Real by Hope Ford. This was an interesting one because her sister is finally graduating college and getting married. And so it's how is life after you've raised the sibling?
She's done,
She's
Barney.
done, yeah. But she ends
Okay.
up connected to a single dad and wanders on the cover, just
I
saying.
mean, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Memory of Mistletoe by Carrie Elks. The hero in that book is raising his 17-year-old brother. And again, small town vibes. And that one's like pretty good comparison, like for like almost, in that he's grumpy, he doesn't want to like the town, but it's the only place they can go to be together. And she loves the town. Boone by Sawyer Bennett, Riggs by Sawyer Bennett, both raising siblings. Still the One by Carrie Elks, again, raising siblings. And Beautifully Broken by Katherine Cowell, with a little bit of suspense in it. Go
I
ahead.
have two more.
Oh, I
Okay.
thought you said you had one. Okay.
No, I said I had a couple
Oh,
this
okay.
time. So
Sorry.
Dr. Scandalous, she's raising her sister and she's a little bit older, but then also Man Candy by Vanessa Fail. Like
Oh,
that's a really
yeah.
good one because like again, it's an older sibling situation where it's like what do I do now that like she's in a relationship and like out of college type of situation.
Yeah.
Oh, I would add Wrecked Palace by Katherine Cowles.
Oh,
Like,
yeah,
I
that's a
just
good one
thought of it while
too.
you were talking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, that one would be. Yeah, it's a
Yeah.
good one too. He's
So
very grumpy.
in our on-the-shelf show notes, I will start adding our recs. I haven't been doing that. And it
Here, I'll
just
add
on to
mine
me
to the
today.
doc. Oh,
So
yeah.
starting tomorrow morning, you'll be able to find the list of all these recs on our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out and joining me. Make sure you join us for Happy Hour tomorrow night at 9 p.m. We're excited. We will be chatting with the first three authors of the Bang Brothers series. This is a multi-author series set around the thrilling world of hockey, featuring five brothers, one sister, and their matchmaking mother. I've read book one and book two. They're delightful. I really am so excited to keep going into this series. This series is Elise Faber, Jamie Davenport, Kat Mazira, Gina Azee, Kelly Jameson, and Catherine Fox are the authors involved. And tomorrow night, I'm chatting with Elise, Jamie, and Kat. So make sure you're back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. And don't forget to tune in on Sunday night for our next episode, Books Under 350 Pages.
Yeah, I had to think about what it was for
Yes.
a minute.
And then next week's Sip and Discuss book, remember we changed it. We are now reading Bet Me by Jennifer Crusie. And you won't want to miss it because that book is 20 years old, and we'll let you know if it still holds up. Anyway, thank you everybody for talking about Savor It by Tara DeWitt.
Was a really good
It
one.
was a
Yeah,
really good
thanks
one.
for reading it with me so I wasn't alone.
Good pick, Amanda.
It was a good pick.
Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.